All right, let's get right into it. Episode two, Saturday, June 22nd. It's 9:30 right now. Had a late start. Had some, I guess you'd say, technical difficulties. Whoever said that, doing a podcast was easy. I don't know. They're lying to you. There's so much stuff that you have to make sure that's right. Make sure your audio is right. Make sure the microphone is set up right. Just your whole workspace is set up right. It's definitely not easy. I'll just leave it at that. All right. All right. So, some of you might be thinking, what is this whiskey wings and winning? Didn't really talk about it in the first episode. I'll talk about it a little bit, and then throughout the show, I'll talk about it. So, I just kind of came up with the name. I thought it was pretty fitting. Who likes, who doesn't like a good glass or maybe a shot of, some Kentucky bourbon, maybe some Basil Hayden, maybe some single barrel. The wings, it's kind of got a there's like two meanings for it. So, I like some good traditional, wings with some, a good sauce, and not those baby chicken wings that Buffalo Wild Wings serves. But also it stands for like airborne wings as well. So I'll be talking about that in some later episodes of what it means to be airborne and earning your airborne wings. And then obviously winning. I mean there's so many different aspects of winning, not just with sports, but with everything that's going on in your life and your job at home. So jumping right into it today, we're gonna go back and talk some Niner stuff. They still don't have Brandon Ayuk signed. He's wanting, I think, around 100 and something million. He's trying to get paid like Justin Jefferson, but let's be honest, he's not gonna get that type of money. Great receiver. He did awesome last year for the Niners. Had a lot of explosive plays, a lot of him and Purdy connected. A lot of deep passes. But I don't think he's gonna get paid like Justin Jefferson. Justin Jefferson is kind of I would say he's definitely the I honestly I don't know if he's the top receiver, but he's definitely, I mean, for Minnesota, I mean, that's really all Minnesota has right now. JJ McCarthy, rookie, but it looks like, Sam Darnold is, he's kind of outperforming him right now in minicamp from the reports that I've seen. So I don't know. We'll see how that plays out. But I think bottom line, Niners got to make it happen. And obviously, they can't handicap the team, but they gotta get Ayuk signed, having the new rookie Pearsall from Florida. Debo is still gonna be there, that playmaker, that kind of slot back that can really do anything on the offensive side of the ball. Line him up in the slot. He can take that reverse. He can line him up in the backfield. Really do anything. But I think having Ayuk, Jennings, Pearsall, Debo, and Kittle, I mean, their offense is going to be explosive. You still got Big Trent out there just throwing people around. So it's going to be fun to watch. But I think, again, bottom line, they got to get Ayuk signed because just the way their offense is. If you watch the Niners play, like they just all fit really well together. Shanahan, he knows how to, run that offense, and they all fit really well, with McCaffrey in the backfield. Debo just always, running around. You have to account for so many different guys, and the way Shanahan schemes it, it's nice. It's nice to watch. So, but without Ayuk, I don't think it, I don't think it flows the same. All right. So, moving on. I was talking yesterday with Tyler about the Buccaneers, and really, what are they gonna do this season? They signed assigned Baker Mayfield to that contract. He led them, I think, to a playoff win last year. I think they beat the Eagles, got to the divisional. I mean, they signed him. I mean, he really did what they, needed him to do. They signed him. They still got Mike Evans. They still got Godwin, Vita Vea. I know they lost. Who's their linebacker? Devin White went to the Eagles. Still think they got Lavonte David. But I do think they got some good like draft picks and everything. They still got Tristan Wirfs, who I would say is probably the in the top five of tackles in the league right now. He might actually, might move up this year. But I think definitely the Buccaneers versus the Falcons for that, NFC South division. I think it'll be between the Buccaneers and the Falcons. I don't see the Panthers or the Saints really competing in that division. I mean, anything can happen, obviously, but Bryce Young with the Panthers, to me, he looked awful last year. They might have a little bit of better season coming up, but I don't see them really doing much. The Saints, Derek Carr, I used to advocate for the guy when he was with the Raiders. I used to say it's not his, it's the defense, but then I watched this guy play for the Saints last year, and I think maybe it was Derek Carr. Maybe not all the time. Definitely a decent quarterback, but I don't know. I wouldn't want him on my team as the quarterback. So again, I think that Buccaneers, Falcons, obviously they got what, they drafted Penix Jr., but right before that they got Kirk Cousins, signed him to a huge deal. This guy's been floating around in the league with the Commanders. Well, I think it was the Redskins when he was there, but Redskins, Commanders, whatever. Then he goes to Minnesota. Now he's in Atlanta, and this guy's getting paid, but I think he's got one playoff win in 9 seasons, 10 seasons. I mean, I think guy's a good quarterback, but I mean, we kind of give the same crap to, like Dak Prescott, Kirk Cousins. Like, it's almost the same quarterback. I mean, if you look at their careers, like, they're really like, I think Dak maybe has one or two playoff wins at this point. I don't know. Kirk Cousins is, I think he's good, but again, I don't think he was worth it, the money that, Atlanta spent on him. And I don't really know what their thought process is of drafting Penix Jr. Maybe it's because they're not sold on Kirk Cousins, but if you weren't sold on him, why are you paying this guy the money that you paid him? I think it was over $100 million. I don't have the numbers right here in front of me, but I mean, it was a pretty big contract for a quarterback that's coming off an Achilles injury. So yeah, we'll see. Speaking of the Achilles injury, I was talking about this yesterday. Aaron Rodgers, I still don't think he's shown up to camp. It's the same thing every year. This guy's a diva. Oh, he's one of the greatest. He's got the greatest arm of all time and all that. I mean, that's all, that's like great, but like, again, he has a Super Bowl. Awesome. That was like what, 14 years ago? Which, yeah, he's got it. That's great, but like, that's the only thing that when it comes to arguing is like, oh, he's not had help and all that. Yeah, he has. Like, look at the teams that he's had in Green Bay. Like, he used to take them to the playoffs every single year. But the dude is a wine baby. He's a diva. All he thinks about is himself. He's never, he never uses the Brady mentality. He never takes less money to make sure that the team is taken care of. He always, is just, I don't know. He's always in the media of, me. He's never, I think that's going to be the, obviously he's going to make the Hall of Fame. That's a given. He's got the numbers, but when it comes to being one of the greatest of all time, he's not, to me, Rodgers is not even in the, he's probably not even in the top five. Just if I'm being honest, I can definitely think of five quarterbacks right now that are, above Aaron Rodgers. And, again, awesome, great arm. I mean, honestly, like to me, he probably got better numbers than Favre, but back in the day, I probably would have took Favre. I would have took Favre over Aaron Rodgers. You look at it, they both got the same amount of Super Bowls. So, but Favre didn't care. Favre was, they called him the gunslinger for a reason. That dude, honestly, probably had the strongest arm, if arguably the strongest arm ever in the NFL. And he didn't, you didn't hear a lot when it came to Favre until, like, I guess later in his career, once he went to he went to what, the Jets, and then ended up going to Minnesota, took him one play short from going to Super Bowl again. But anyways, I'm just rambling on here. Rodgers is just, he's not shown up to mini camp, or OTAs, whatever. I think they're in mandatory, it's not just the optional. I think it's mandatory at this point. But it's just, he's not about the team. I haven't seen that. Maybe he is once he's actually there, but every season I feel like, it's me, me, me. Oh, I have this important, trip planned or whatever. It's like, I mean, dude, go and, be a leader of your team. You want, like, to cry every season about, you don't have any help and everything else. Like, pretty sure you guys just got Mike Williams from the Chargers. Who else did they get? I'm trying to think. I know they got somebody else. He's got help. Like, they got a pretty stacked team. So this, I'm just honestly, I'm tired of hearing about it. I Four plays into last season, he blows his Achilles. I don't know. I don't know. I'm a firm believer everything happens for a reason. We'll see. We'll see. All right, enough of that. All right, let's kind of, like, throw a curveball at you. What about the whole, Caitlin Clark in the WNBA? Like, what's going on with that? Is she being, like, I don't think she's being a crybaby. I think they're just trying to, obviously they're trying to break her spirit. I think really, a lot of the players in the WNBA are intimidated by how good of a player that she is right now. Again, I'm not looking at any numbers or anything, but I know she's doing really well for a rookie, obviously. I mean, if they are targeting her the way they are, obviously somebody's intimidated about her play. They're trying to break her, which is just gonna probably force her to be a better player, especially if she's a rookie and she's already getting this type of treatment. She's just really, after this season, it's probably just gonna force her to work out harder, train harder, be in the gym longer, taking more shots, which is, it's gonna be dangerous for all the ones that are doing this to her, because I mean, she's obviously, she's a, a great player, and that's why I see it. They're scared. They're scared of, how good she really is. So yeah, I'll leave it at that. Moving on to, I think I'd be remiss if I didn't mention it, because I really don't, I really don't hear much talk about it, is the Oklahoma softball team. I think, what was this? This is 4 years in a row. 4 years in a row that they've won it. I can look it up here real quick, but just like talking about the dominance of, you know, the Oklahoma softball team and Patty Gasso, the, you know, coach. I think she's won 8 championships with Oklahoma softball team, which is wild. Like, I mean, me and my wife watch it every single year, and Oklahoma is, it's not even a, like, to me, it's not even a competition. Like, they just run through these teams, like absolutely destroy them. And then they can get in these close games to where they'll only get one run, but they'll hold, you know, obviously they'll hold the other team to nothing. You know, that you let them get on the board and their pitching is top notch, it's over. And once they get the crowd into the game, it's over. We watch them every single year, and it's like, ah, well, they're losing so many seniors, but it's like all these other players that step up. I mean, they're having freshmen that come in and pitch, and just like, you know, some of the top players in the entire nation. Let's see here. All right, so yeah, this is the 8th title. Let's see, their first 4th straight. Yep, it's their 4th straight. Yeah, I mean, they swept Texas, which is, it's great for them, great for Texas to get to the championship, you know, series. But they got beat again, I think in 2022 they got beat by Oklahoma. Oklahoma is just like, they're recruiting obviously, and the coaching, I think the coaching is just it's just light years ahead of all these other you know, programs. Obviously, I mean, 4 straight, like, and they haven't even been really like, nobody's competing with them. I mean, I think that they won 52 games out of 60 this past season. Yeah. Yeah, so Oklahoma, they won the last, like, their conference title 15 times. And then obviously they have those 8 championships. So that's pretty crazy. It's looks like Patty Gasso has what been there. She's been the head coach since 1995. I didn't know that. She's led the Sooners to 8 national championships, 2000. And then she didn't win again until 2013. 2016, 2017, and then 2021 through 2024. That's pretty crazy. And she's got an 81% winning percentage, which is, that's wild. You know, she's won 1,500 games. 1,500 games in softball. I feel like that's just, like, unreal. 15-time Big 12 champ. It's just... it's just craziness. I'm only expecting them to win. I mean, they win. I just don't even know if it's been done 4 straight, let alone if they can win it again next year, 5 straight. That'll be pretty wild. Yeah. So there's really no agenda that I have today. I had a late start. Yeah, the podcast is, it's not easy. There's so many logistics that go, you know, into this that I didn't even realize when I wanted to start doing this. Just your setup alone, it's not as easy as just, oh, let's plug this microphone in and, like, let's, you know, let's go at it. Like, no, you got to have the right platform. You got to have everything, you know, ensuring that this is going to actually, you know, work. Like, this microphone is, it's pretty heavy. So, you know, make sure the sound card is right. Make sure, Everything is set up correctly, and yeah, it was it. I didn't take that into account when I, started this. So I don't know. It's, still learning. So it's good. And it's good. I think the best way to, learn these things is obviously doing them. If you don't do it, then obviously you're not going to get better at it. So, moving forward, let's talk a little bit of, what did the Mavericks do after this loss, in the finals? Do they keep them together? Do they keep Luka and Kyrie together? The talk that I heard during the finals, the best, oh, I think those the conference finals where I heard it the most. I didn't really hear it in the finals because, to be honest, the Mavs, they sucked. They did. They sucked. Kyrie didn't even really show up. Luka did, but he was a, crybaby. And the talks of best backcourt in NBA history, like, come on. Like, the best backcourt in NBA history, or whatever, the most talented, whatever that, like, come on. Like, stop. Stop. If that was the case, then I feel like it would have been a lot closer of a series. That's, like, Boston won that series at home because they lost, what, game four intentionally. Like, they got blown out by, like, what, 38 points? But then the other games, like, come on. Like, Boston did that intentionally. The series wasn't even close. The best backcourt in NBA history. I think they're great, but, like, the best in history? Nah. Just stop. Stop. Stop with saying all the craziness just because of, they get to the finals. Like, that's, nobody cares. Nobody cares that they, nobody cares that they, blew through the teams that they did. Like, nobody remembers who came in second place. They just don't. The Celtics won it. They whooped them. Just leave it at that. The best backcourt in NBA history. That's gonna be an argument point, forever. I mean, who really cares? Like, who's the best backcourt in NBA history? If you don't win the NBA championship, it doesn't matter. Like, it's like talking about, who's the greatest of all time of, when it comes to, like, being the quarterback. It's Tom Brady. Like, there's no question about it. Is there people more talented? Yeah, there probably were. Better athletes? Yep, absolutely. But what matters at the end of the day? Those rings. Those rings at the end of the season, that obviously Brady has more than any other player. It's, so again, I don't think that Luka and Kyrie are the best backcourt in NBA history. That's just, after seeing the way they played in the finals, there is absolutely no way that they are. Sorry. Sorry, but I'm not. They kind of a disappointment, to be honest. Really was. Thought they were gonna show out a little bit more than they did. I didn't think that they were, going to, I didn't think really Luka was gonna let the refs and everything get the most out of him. I didn't really seen him act that way. And I think they did it on purpose. Like, they're not gonna let him cry and get all these calls. It's not gonna happen. To me, the NBA is soft as it is. Nobody plays defense anymore. Everybody just shoots a three. Oh, three, let's shoot it. Which, I mean, I guess, yeah, that's awesome. But what happened to just, driving to the hole till they can stop you, like Michael Jordan? Or just, playing that mid-range game. It's like, if I can score every time down, I mean, it's not going to be every time, but, Who knows? What are the odds, like, you know, what about beating down the defense? You know, not just coming down, throwing up a three, and then the game is so fast paced, and the next team comes down, they shoot a three. I mean, I think it's definitely a different era of basketball. I don't in particularly like watching the regular season of basketball. It's to me, it's boring. It's I don't know. It's just not the same. Not the same as what I was used to. There's talks of the NBA is, you know, a lot harder now. The athletes are way better than they were in the 80s and 90s. And I mean, again, that's an arguing point. It's where's this data, and why are these players better? And I mean, is it are they? I mean, if nobody plays defense, I mean, are they better? The calls, you know, you can't hand check anybody anymore. You know, the guys flop on the floor like fish every freaking, you know, game, I feel like. And then, you know, whining to the refs when they don't get called. I mean, how many reviews are there now in the NBA? Like, come on. Like, this, it's just whatever. It's, I don't know. They're making the, I mean, if that's the case, then why even have the referees on the court? Just everything is just recorded anyway, so just everything should just be, I guess, let AI call, like, oh, that's a foul, you know, the whistle will blow. You don't even need the refs. I mean, I don't know. Like, everything can be reviewed. I mean, I think there is so many coaches' challenges and everything, but like, I don't know. Now let's move on. Then we're talking about reviews. Let's move to some baseball. Texas Rangers. What are they doing right now? They won it last year. Not looking so hot right now. Not looking so hot right now. They were in first place. Now they are 35-40. Their home record is 18-19. Away record 17-21. Runs scored 319. Runs against 331. Their pitching is terrible. Absolutely terrible. They let Houston take second place in their division right now. Seattle's in first place. They're just not looking that great. And honestly, the way they're playing, I don't expect them to even make the playoffs. Just being honest, they just don't look the way they did last season. I really don't see it. I mean, they're not even three, four, five. They're like seventh place to make the wild card right now. Versus Baltimore with the wins, 49 and 26 losses. So I don't see the Rangers getting in there. And which is kind of a shocker, because Bochy is really good at keeping teams you know, pretty relevant. So I mean, obviously there's still time. I mean, there are 5 games under 500, so there's still time. Obviously, with a 162 game season, they've played 75 up to this point, but you know, they better pick it up, because like, this obviously runs against you have more runs against than you score, you're going to be losing a lot of games. Like, that's just the way it works. You know, I don't know. Their batting averages this year are just like the team, like, Smith is he's the leader and the team leader in batting average of the 299. That's horrible. 299? I mean, yeah, that's like close to 300. Not bad, but like, that's craziness, I feel like. And then Garcia, like, what is this guy's batting average? A 212 batting average. Come on, dude. Like, not everything's got to be a home run. Not everything, you have to swing for the fence. Like, you have to get on base. You have to get runs scored. Now, obviously, you had a home run. That's great. But how many home runs does this guy have right now? He's got 13 through 75 games. So obviously not bad, but come on. Simeon, he's doing his thing, I guess. 252 batting average, slugging percentage of 419, on base percentage of 319. He's got 100, he's got 43 RBIs, 11 home runs, 29 walks. It's just, I don't know. He's leading the league, or not leading the league, but leading the team with, the 43 RBIs, 76 hits in 75 games. So he's, I mean, that's really good. Get why he's played 74 games, at bats, 301, 76 hits. So, he's doing great, but like, I don't know. I don't see the Rangers. I don't see the Rangers making the playoffs this year. And what does that mean for them next year? I don't know. Does that mean Bochy's gonna still be there? I don't know what his contract's looking like. Let's see. I mean, I just do not see the Yankees. Like, they're 51 and 27. I don't see the Rangers being able to compete with that. I mean, again, there's still time. Still time to get back into it. This is probably the best Yankees team that I've seen in a while. Runs scored 390, runs against 284. So, I mean, they're 106 runs over, they've got 106 more runs scored than, runs against. Home record of 23 and 13, away record of 28 and 14. That team's nasty. That team is they're dangerous. They are dangerous. Cleveland Guardians, so they came out of nowhere. 47 and 26, 24 and 9 at home. That's pretty wild. That's pretty unbelievable for them. I don't know if that's just a fluke or if they really are that good. Their differential is 100, 100, runs scored versus their runs against, 367 to 267. So last 10 games, 6-4. It's pretty crazy. Philly, Bryce Harper, they're doing their thing, 49-26. Milwaukee, I feel like Milwaukee's kind of one of those teams that you always see like doing really great and then something happens. So we'll see. Milwaukee Brewers, 44 and 32, 22 and 12 at home. Dodgers are up there. I haven't really heard a lot about the Ohtani. What happened with that whole that gambling? That was kind of weird. That was weird. Did that get just swept under the rug? Or I kind of heard about it for a little bit. Didn't really keep up with it. Whole gambling and how this was gonna ruin this guy's career and now it's just gone. I don't hear about it at all. Like, that's, I don't know. I feel like he's too big of a face for the MLB for them to pursue, any legal action, which maybe they did. I don't know. I really don't know what went on with that. I just feel like it was just really weird. And I feel like he's such a big face of the MLB that they weren't really going to do much about it. Back in, Pete Rose there, what was that, 60s, 70s? The social media and like the exposure of players just really, it's not the same. It really isn't, the news and everything, it's just not the same. The storylines and, talking about Pete Rose, man, they come on, man, let the guy in. Why would you not let this guy in at this point? Same with Bonds, man. Like, to be honest, the steroid era of baseball was probably the most exciting time in baseball. Think about it. You got, Barry Bonds, you got Mark McGwire, you got Sammy Sosa, you got Rafael Palmeiro, who else? I mean, Roger Clemens throwing, man, I think he was in on that scandal too, right? Him throwing the heaters. just I don't know. To me, that whole era from like 98 to like 2000 and what, eight, like that whole 10-year period, that was the, for me anyways, that's just what I, remember the most. Like that was the most exciting time. That was the most exciting time that I got to witness for baseball. Watching the, Yankees still be on top, watching Jeter freaking just, do his craziness with the glove, constantly getting hits, being a part of the team, getting on base. But they gotta let them in, man. Like they're so big for baseball. If you're not gonna let them in, why are you even, if you're not gonna let Bonds in the Hall of Fame, why are you, why is he even the home run leader? Take all their stats away. But why are the stats even there if they're not going to be in the Hall of Fame? Like, let's be honest. Like, Barry Bonds is probably the, one of the best hitters of all time. Not just home runs, but just a hitter, right? You got to let him in. Same with Pete Rose. Let's look at this guy's. What is this? Career hits of 4,256. It's absolutely nuts. Span from 1963 to 86. Like, God, that's just craziness. Looks like his best year as far as hit wise was. It's like 1973, 230 hits. Two hundred and thirty hits in 1973. How many at bats did he have? 680. Looking at all his numbers, he didn't really. I mean, the best season for RBI wise was 1969. He had 82 RBIs. He was never, looking at it, he was never over 100 RBIs in his entire career, any season. Which is kind of shocking, I feel like, with as many hits as he's, spanning a career over. What, 23 seasons looks like, yeah. 4,256 hits. At bats, 14,053. That's just crazy. And like Pete Rose wasn't a big dude. 5'11, 192 pounds, third baseman. It's crazy. Three batting titles, three World Series. Most valuable player, two gold gloves, rookie of the year. And you're telling me this guy, and he's the hit leader of all time, and he's not in the Hall of Fame. It's just, I don't know. It's wrong. It's wrong. He needs to be in there. Okay. Like, there's really nothing else that I can say about that, Pete Rose. Needs to be in there. Bonds needs to be in there. Maguire, Sosa. It's the best time in baseball, I feel like, is that steroid era. I'm not, maybe not saying it's, right, but everybody I talked to loved that time. Remember the 98 or was it 2000? Sosa just cranking them. The home run derby. He's got the hat on backwards, just straight, moon shots. Dude's just cranking these, 450 plus foot home runs, just having fun with it. It's a different time. Different time. We'll see. I don't know. There's so many politics involved with every sport now. So I don't know. We will see how it goes. What about Manny Ramirez? I don't know. Was he a part of that? Can't remember if he was a part of that scandal. Remember Manny Ramirez? think he first started his career out with the Cleveland Indians back when they were called the Cleveland Indians. I don't know if he was a part of that whole steroid scandal or not. Say I mentioned him, you know, watching the video, Manny Ramirez, that guy was unreal. And then he goes to the Red Sox. He was a legend for them. He was just a crank those home runs, had the big, you know, big chaw up there spitting at the plate. That was a great time watching him play. Yeah. Let's go back. Let's talk about the NFL with these, 17-game season right now. What about Goodell talking about, let's, you know, get rid of one of these preseason games and let's go ahead and, you know, let's do an 18-game season. Like, you trying to, like, really permanently hurt these guys? Like, why do you need to play 18 games? What does that do? I think what it does, obviously, it gives more exposure to the NFL. Yeah, the NFL makes more money. But what does 18 games do for the players and for the seeding for the playoffs? Like, 18 games to find out who's the best in their division and everything? Like, come on. Like, no. Like, I don't think really the players, yeah, they probably want to get rid of some of these preseason games. But then again, it's like, how much exposure are the rookies going to get if they're taking away these preseason games? How are you going to really, you know, you only have so many scrimmages versus other teams in the, you know, OTAs and mini camps and, you know, practices throughout the week. So getting rid of the preseason, yeah, okay, that's great. But again, how much exposure are the rookies and some of these other players going to be able to get? But 18 games, I feel like, I mean, what are we going to be playing until the middle of February? And then eventually, like, this is just wild. The Super Bowl last year was in February. I mean, I think it's been the past couple of years, but I just don't feel like 18 games is, I don't think, you know, from hearing from a lot of the players that 18 games, like, what, are we going to have two bye weeks? I mean, think about that. Two bye weeks. It's just, I feel like the shelf life of players is going to diminish. Playing 18 games, I mean, through 7 weeks, these guys are so banged up that, you know, throwing that extra game on there, it sounds like, oh, let's just throw an extra game on there. But, I mean, remember, it was just a couple of years ago, it was a 16-game season. Now we threw 17, 18. And then talk about playoffs. We go to the wild card. That's 19. Divisional, 20. You know, the championship, 21. Super Bowl, if you get there, 22-game season, it's a lot. It's a lot. You know, talking about practices and everything else, 22-game season. Realistically, I mean, that's every team's goal is to get there. So, you know, again, if you, yeah, you could get a, I guess that first round bye. So what are you playing? If you get that first round bye in the playoffs, 21 games. 21 games. Obviously only two. I think they talked about, two teams getting first round byes. I'm not sure. I don't know. I don't agree with it. I think Goodell, I think he needs to go. I'm tired of hearing him. I'm tired of hearing, you know, he's soft. To me, he doesn't care about the players. He cares about obviously making more money for the NFL, which, I mean, yeah, I get it. He should, I guess, you know, but, like, I don't know. Care for the players. Yeah. Looks like Stephen A. Smith, ESPN analyst, wants $25 million annually from ESPN. ESPN's offering him $18 million. 18 million per, like he wants 25 million annually. What? What? And then this here's in quotes, in quotations, ESPN and Patero have put an 18 million per year offer in front of the generational star. It's an insane amount of dough for a TV personality, but it still might not be enough. Like, what? Think about this. There's players that are going out there putting pads on, getting hit by freaking 350-pound linemen. And this guy is wanting 25 million a year. Some of these guys that I just mentioned that are getting hit by these 350-pound linemen are getting paid like a couple million. Purdy didn't even make a million. His annual salary last year was like 873,000. That's wild. This is crazy. 25 million a year to talk sports on ESPN. Come on, man. Like, you ain't that important. I don't care who you are. You're not that important. You don't put your body on the line like these players do. So, I don't know. I'll leave it at that. Stephen A. Smith, great analyst, good dude, but I don't know. I don't think he's worth no 25 million a year. Whatever. Yeah. I'm just gonna leave that alone. So, yeah, I seen this meme, and I thought it was funny. I'm a fan, but I thought it was funny. Going back to the finals, Luka Doncic when his team needed him most, and they kind of have a picture of Luka, but they kind of cropped Dak Prescott on his kind of on his face. Yeah, I don't know. I can't really disagree with that. Dak is kind of the same way. Dak is the same way in the playoffs. Cool. You get your team there every year. Have a great regular season. Nobody remembers the regular season. Like, yeah, those numbers are going to eventually be there year after year, but if you're getting whooped in the playoffs, you can't lead your team to, ultimately the Super Bowl. Nobody cares. That's really what it boils down to. And again, Niners are the same way. It's my team, but they can't get it done. Nobody cares that you make it there every year. The Chiefs are the Niners' kryptonite right now. Last two Super Bowls they've been in, wow, last three Super Bowls the Niners have been in since 2012 when they had what, Kaepernick. They played against the Ravens. They lost. They played against the Chiefs in 20 what 19. They lost. That's when Jimmy G was the QB. And then last year the Niners, man, that was a heartbreaker. I can't say they had the Super Bowl. They had it, but they didn't. Like, they gave way too much time to Patty. Yeah, and your defense, like, you need one stop to win a Super Bowl. One stop in overtime to win the Super Bowl, and they couldn't do it. They couldn't freaking do it. Now, again, I'm not gonna say this is the I'm not gonna blame them for it, but hey, it was a big part of it. Look at all three Super Bowls that the Chiefs have won in the last, what, 4 years? Or what, two? They've been to what, 20, what, 20 versus the Bucks? I think I've seen a crazy stat. They haven't had one holding call in every Super Bowl that they've been in. Think about that. Not one holding call. Come on, man. Like, there's holding on every single play if the refs really want to call it. But you're gonna not call it in the Super Bowl. But how many times did the Niners get called for it? How many times did they hold Bosa? Go back and watch it. Go back and watch it. Yeah, there's probably some missed calls that the Niners got away with and everything else, but like, you can't not call holding in the Super Bowl. Like you're telling me like that Bosa's not going to get to Patty. I know. I'm not looking at the stats right now, but you're going to tell me that they can just block Bosa all game. Come on, man. Come on. But again, that's why you can't leave it up to the refs. I'm not going to blame the refs, but like they got to call that. But yeah, you can't leave it up to the refs because they'll ruin it for you. That's why you just got to win it. Flat out win it. Don't worry about the Don't worry about the calls. Just go out there and put more points on the freaking board. Score. Stop them. Like, that's it. Enough of that. Tired of hearing about it. It's a new season coming up. Bang, bang, Niner gang. Let's go. I'm excited. Kittle, Warner, Purdy. Oh, Leonard Floyd's on the team now. What about that? Like, man, Ricky Pearsall, rookie. I hope this guy, watching his route running from Florida, absolutely nuts, crazy. Mooney Ward, Nick Bosa, Hufanga's coming back. Juan Jennings is signed. Like it's just crazy. I'm excited. It's gonna be awesome. It's gonna be awesome. I was watching yesterday the old 98 like divisional round versus the Packers. Steve Young, Garrison Hurst, playing against Brett Favre, Antonio Freeman, Dorsey Levins, Gilbert Brown. Man, that game was wild. It was absolutely crazy. Terrell Owens, JJ Stokes, minute and like 50 left in the game. Favre throws a pass to Antonio Freeman, touchdown. Niners are down 4 points. Steve Young's just going crazy in the backfield. I think there's like 50 something seconds left in the game. He drops it off to Garrison Hurst. They call their last timeout. There's like 8 seconds left. Garrison Hurst goes out, pulled hammy. Young drops back. He stumbles, throws it straight down the middle, slant. Terrell Owens gets smashed, but he catches it. Remember his performance throughout the entire day. He was dropping all kinds of passes and everything, but he finally caught that ball. I think honestly, that season, that team that the Niners had right there, that was probably they were like 13-4 on the season. That was a wild card. I said that was the divisional, but that was the wild card. That was probably the one of the best teams that they had that didn't make it to the Super Bowl. That team was they were stacked. They were great. I can't remember if yeah. So Rice was there, but I think he was kind of nursing an injury. He didn't have like a huge game. Yeah. And talking about the Niners, arguably the best wide receiver and the best cornerback of all time in the same team, that 94 Super Bowl with Jerry Rice and Deion Sanders. I don't think there's really any arguing when it comes to Jerry Rice. Like, he is the best receiver of all time. The numbers prove it. It's the numbers prove it. The numbers are there. I don't think there's really any arguing about it. Now, when you want to talk talent and things, that's different. Like, that's not the same. Like, look at the numbers. It kind of goes back to the Brady wasn't the most talented, but I'll say it all day. Brady's the best quarterback of all time. Just like, there's definitely, more talented. Arms out there, but Brady's the best quarterback of all time. Jerry had top-notch hands, top-notch route running, was never the fastest guy. I think out of Mississippi Valley State, I think he ran like a 4.6. 4.6, but I think he did definitely got faster because if you watch him, his breakaway speed in the NFL in the games was absolutely insane. And then Dion. Moving to Dion, best cornerback of all time. He's definitely up there. There are so many really good ones. Like, Rod Woodson when he was at corner. Charles Woodson's really good. Haynes from the Raiders. There's just so many really good corners, but Deion's definitely up there. So I think, yeah, that's you can argue that one, but there is no arguing Jerry. Like, come on, to be honest, there's nobody's there with Jerry. Look at the numbers, receiving touchdowns 197. The next closest guy is 156, Randy Moss, who played a season with the Niners. Terrell Owens 153, who obviously was with the Niners. Then you got Chris Carter 130, Marvin Harrison 128. But like Jerry, being 41 touchdowns ahead of Moss. But that's not even including, I think his total number was like 208. He had a couple rushing. He had like one fumble recovery for a touchdown, like 208 as a receiver. That's just nuts. Nobody's touching Jerry. But I'll tell you this, that nobody talks about, and nobody talks about how many consecutive seasons of 1,000 yards that Mike Evans has. Let's talk about that for a few minutes. How many, I'll look it up right now because I can't, I can't tell you, but let's see how many. Consecutive 1,000 yard seasons does Mike Evans. 10 consecutive seasons with 1,000 yards to start his career. That's the NFL record. NFL record, Mike Evans, 10 consecutive seasons. Does he get the credit he deserves? No, he doesn't. And it's only because really, I think because he does like you don't I don't really ever see anything in the media about Mike Evans. Like ever, which I think can be a good thing, but the numbers obviously don't lie. 1,000 yards, 13 career 150-yard games. It's NFL record 10 consecutive seasons with 1,000 yards to start a career. Second longest streak in any point in a player's career. I mean, just look at the quarterbacks that he's had. Yeah, he had Brady for what, 2 seasons? Other than that, who has he had? Jameis Winston? Now he's got Baker. Baker's obviously an upgrade from Jameis, but like who all has he had? In 2020, he became the first player in NFL history to open a career with 7 straight 1,000-yard seasons, one more than Randy Moss. Hall of Famer Jerry Rice established the record 11 straight seasons from the 1986 seasons to 1996. Evans now has the second longest streak, breaking a tie with another Hall of Famer, Tim Brown. Overall, Evans is now just the third player with 10 1,000-yard seasons in the NFL. Rice holds the record with 14. Evans now tied with Moss and in the second spot. He might break Jerry's record for that. He honestly, he I mean he really might. The guy doesn't take a lot of hits. The guy always seems like he's always There's always these streak routes. Like, I don't know if it's the scheme. I don't know if it's just the way he runs the route, but like, I feel like he's always wide open on some of these go routes. Go back and look at when Brady played for him, which, I mean, obviously Brady's going to know he sees that coverage and then they kind of just, all right, tap it on the helmet. Let's go. But it's just wild because again, like talking back, I mean, talking Jerry was like a 4'6" type guy. I think Evans was like in the same boat. Evans obviously a lot bigger than what Jerry was. But yeah, that's pretty crazy. If Mike Evans can end up breaking that record of Jerry, that'd be great for him. Yeah. So, yeah, it was mainly again, I said I had no agenda today. Really didn't. I've been rambling on, which is great. Sometimes I need to do that. But I'm gonna close it out now. It's been fun. I'm gonna try to do, multiple podcasts a week, multiple uploads. So again, this was, focused mainly around sports today. Hope you guys enjoyed it. Reach out again if you whatever I can work on, whatever I can do to be better. I don't care. Critique me. Tell me what I did good. Tell me what I did bad. Yeah. So see you guys next time. I'm out.